So ordinance committee will convene at 7:53 PM. First and only item before us is PCO 5-24, an ordinance clarifying street abandonment procedures for circumstances where the city of Warwick is an applicant and the mayor certifies that it serves the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the city. And I happen to be the sponsor. I know members of the council likely are well aware of why I've proposed this. Generally speaking, we've had this come up once or twice now at recent meetings where there's been a request for an abandonment and it's actually in the city's best interests, and there's been a hiccup when it comes to the language in the ordinance as applies to the fair market value issue. And it has come up again now more recently in my ward, where it has pretty much the same exact issue, and both the city and I are tired of seeing it, and this would resolve it nicely. And the language is pretty straightforward, speaks for itself, but I'll quickly summarize. It just allows when the city is an applicant regarding the abandonment that the mayor can certify that the abandonment serves the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the city, and then the city council, given the presence of such a certification, may waive some or all of the enumerated procedures listed here in the ordinance, or at least any of those that aren't required by state law. So fairly straightforward as written. Obviously, if there are any questions, fire away. Members of the committee, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I understand that there are a lot of circumstances where it might not seem entirely fair for the abutter to pay the assessed value. There are times where we would want to use our discretion to waive those fees. But as well-intentioned, and I would say this is a well-drafted ordinance, I do have hesitations here as to this proposed ordinance amendment to the existing ordinance, because it opens the door for some unanticipated potential consequences. With the city, we observe a lot of procedures that cause inconvenience and sometimes unfairness in different situations. Usually, those situations tend to be the exception to the rule, and there's a reason why we have the general rule, even though the results of the harsh application of that general rule does not always seem to make sense in every single circumstance that might come up in front of this city council. So I certainly mean no offense, and I think that Councilman Sinapi put in good work on it, trying to draft this so that it's narrowly tailored and makes sense. However, just as by analogy, we wind up having some very strict protocols, having to follow very strict procedures when it comes to items like the city bidding process, which oftentimes don't yield us the best result compared to the relative ease that we might otherwise have if, as a city, somebody just did the shopping on Amazon for us and wound up paying a lower price than what the lowest bid might come in as, or otherwise pick up the phone, try to get a lower price than what the lowest bid may come in as. There are reasons why we have those incredibly inconvenient and sometimes seemingly ridiculous requirements, that red tape that we all get frustrated by. In a situation like this, when it comes to the abandonment of public land, I would be very cautious about anything that would provide for an exception to the general rule here, because if there is that type of exception, then even with that type of a certification, and even with a procedure where it still comes in front of the city council, it still opens up a certain door to the potential for political favoritism and the like, where there may be a certification that, okay, an abandonment that effectively gives away city land to private abutting landowners. And I'm certainly not saying anything about this city council or our current mayor, but keeping in mind that the ordinances are, unless otherwise amended, going to be on the books long after we all and long after the current mayor are no longer in their present positions. So, with those considerations, I really wouldn't want to open up that type of loophole where, with a certification and some potential risk of favoritism when certain petitions come up in front of the city council for the standard to be applied unevenly and for some to wind up getting land transferred to them from the city at no charge, while others pay the fair market value. Thank you.
Any other members of the committee wish to speak? Any members of the council wish to speak? Councilman Lattice.
I tend to concur with much of what Councilman Ricks just alluded to, and I certainly agree with his comments that city council changes and administration changes and the things that we do today or tomorrow have impacts. And we know certainly that in the upcoming year, there's going to be significant changes on this council. My first question is to our council solicitor. So, Solicitor Walsh, this proposed ordinance, does this proposed ordinance conflict with the state law regarding street abandonment? You know, as it's required in Rhode Island General Law 24-6-1. That's my first concern right now. Does this proposed?
No.
It does not.
No, okay. And we are unable to waive anything required by the state anyway, even if there is a nuance that's there. We are unable to waive a set requirement. 24-6-1 lays out the state requirements on what an order of abandonment requires, and this includes, for example, the posting of not a public highway in the specified locations. If you notice, those items are not part of what was the supplementary ordinance adopted by this council years ago. So the council has created these ordinances to supplement the state law. And so it's at the discretion of the council to decide if that is the appropriate standard or not, whether it requires revisions or not. But we cannot waive state law or contradict it.
Okay, thank you for that. I also have a concern with giving authority to any mayor to determine the fair market value of an abandonment on a property, as opposed to requiring a professional evaluation or valuation of that property. I think that that could certainly have an impact on what the fair market value should be. That is certainly a concern. So this says in the final paragraph, the city council may waive these procedures on projects where the city is an applicant for an abandonment and the mayor certifies the abandonment serves the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens. So the question I have is, what dictates an abandonment? Is there a specific definition for this? This is to our council solicitor. That's part A of the question. And part B is this abandonment, as it states here, how does that compare to eminent domain? Or does it? Is there a correlation of each?
In the, there is no corollary because eminent domain is effectively the reverse. That's taking of something. This is returning a portion of a paper street or an actual street or whatever is being sought. Should it be determined, as we heard earlier in the evening, about whether it is useful or not? Those are the standards at the state level.
Okay. And the definition of abandonment, how does... what dictates the abandonment that the city council would waive these procedures on the project where the city is an applicant for an abandonment? What dictates the abandonment? How do you clarify that?
The city has, using both currently the state law and the city's ordinances, established a form effectively that should someone wish to petition the city for this relief, they pull the form and fill out the requirements that are a combination of the two, state law and general and the ordinances. And so what this situation that we're here and contemplating is in instances where the city says there's such a significant value that we are a applicant itself in its own or a co-applicant with any other abutters, that they would say that there is a public need in this sense. And we're saying that as a certification by some entity, in this case, the administration is certifying that this serves the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens, that if the administration, as part of applying for part of it, for this abandonment and certifying that this standard exists, that we could provide the city council the flexibility as it relates to the city council's established ordinances. So it does not mean they all go away. It means the council may be, say, waive a payment piece, or it may waive a component. It does not require or give credence to it all going away. It could be that prerogative of the council should it be their wish, or, you know, but these typically, the abandonments will go to the planning board. They are evaluated. They provide a recommendation as to what their feelings are as to educating the council as it relates to the planning board's responsible purview. And that what we're contemplating here is the possibility that they say, well, this would really serve the city's interest if you, and there's a problem with this component, which we almost like a stipulation or a condition would be waiving of some sort of some component of the current ordinance.
So before the administration could act on a particular abandonment with whatever monetary amounts are assigned to that, that would have to come before the city council for either approval or denial.
Correct. Any the way this ordinance is drafted is to provide merely the option of the council, and it can come with or without the recommendation by the planning board, but certainly it's a factor that they can weigh in on, and certainly it's it does require the mayor to demonstrate the importance through this certification in order to get to the possibility of the council relieving A or any component of the current ordinances, but at no time waiving state requirements.
But ultimately, the final decision rests with the city council.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other members of the council wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? Just make sure to state your name for the record, please.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm Road in Warwick. I was reviewing the proposed ordinance, and what I would suggest is that in, let me get my glasses on, G, that you enumerate what the items are. For instance, it says, gee, the city council may waive these procedures. What I would suggest is these procedures, they being A, B, C, D, and E, and F. And if you do that, what it does is it traps the legislation. It traps the statute so that the only concern I have is F. And you really can't waive F because the statute says you must have F. Without the enumeration, one might say the procedures include procedures beyond A, B, C, D, E, and E, and F. So that with that one little change, I think this does an adequate job. The bigger question, of course, is why would the city be an applicant for an abandonment? But I'll leave that to other people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And if you could just please state your name for the record.
Ann Sheridan, Shady Glen Drive. So my comment is with the department maintaining a list of certified appraisers. It does point out in here that they have to be certified by the state. So if we're looking to maintain a list of, say, appraisers in the city of Warwick, then I think we should add it to this. Otherwise, I think an appraiser who is certified in the state should be available to offer an estimate evaluation. The other thing, to my way of thinking, is I think the whole concept of the city requesting fair market value in an abandonment is really ludicrous. In the case we have here today, you've got two people that are sharing a small piece of land. One woman who has owned it, they've both been abutters. One woman's been using it for parking a car. Obviously, she's been flagrantly using it over the years. And my recollection is that if you flagrantly use property for 10 or 11 years in a day or something, you can go to Superior Court and claim that. So I think in the case of these two people, if they had joined together and gone to Superior Court, they would have had a good option to get the property cleared and in their name. And we had the same instance, and I think it was Councilman Gebhardt was referring to at the last meeting, where a person's house was impeding on what was supposed to be the street, but yet we really weren't sure that the street was there because the street was written on a map and the city's maps. While now we're trying to use GIS to prove what's really there is just a reiteration of historic things that were drawn by somebody who may or may not in the past have been a certified a surveyor that the city hired. I know in some assessing offices, there's always some person that marks up the maps as suggestions have been drawn. But you know, when you go back to meets and bounds, I don't know too many people that can actually draw between one post in the middle, a nail in a tree, and onto the next nail in the next tree, and get the line correctly. When you've got this person that built this, this person that built the thing, was probably well aware of where the street was in relation to their house. So I object to what we did last meeting, and I object to this, and I object to the whole concept of the city looking for fair market value when you've got these little petitions. I think there's plenty of opportunity in the city where there's similar properties where if the city wasn't paying for it, people would come forward and try to take ownership of it, and you would end up getting the property tax on it sooner than later. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you can please state your name for the record.
Yes, good evening. Michelle Comar. I really appreciate all the comments and discussion here tonight. And I thank Councilman Ricks for his insight and the city solicitor for reviewing the state law. And for Councilman Lazar for bringing that to our attention, there is a state law. And there's one thing that the mayor is not exempt from, according to state law. No one is. And this is lacking testimony before the planning board when it dealt with RIAC and the street abandonments they're looking for, and will approach the council for construction of the berm, the noise berm, which is needed for the freight cargo facility. Now, in this case, this is a large area abandonment of streets. It's not just small, which they have some relevance at times. So what's missing that the mayor is not exempt from, or any applicant, is that whenever by judgment of the town council of any town, a highway or driftway in the town or any part of either has ceased to be useful to the public. And that's the first sentence in the state legislation, State Act 24-6-1. And that's failing to be established at the planning board level, at least for the RIAC project. And the city, and they're just leaving it to the city council to take care of. Are people using that as a city park? Are they using the public land in any way? And Solicitor, you tipped me off when you said co-applicant. We certainly don't want the city as a co-applicant to a state project where the beneficial use has ceased, has not been determined to cease. The beneficial use to the public has not been determined to be gone, lost, not in use. And I don't think the city is exempt from establishing that because that's in state law. The other thing is I don't see in state law where a city or town can be the applicant. The city owns the paper street, and the two abutters get to own part of the property if abandoned. It doesn't go to the city or the city to decide they should waive fees. This is set in state law. Its fair market value goes to the abutting landowners. There's no waiving of that procedure. So I think that in terms of projects big or small, they need to follow the state law. And I don't see where the city could be an applicant or a co-applicant unless they have a paper street running through a city park and the city owns both sides of the paper street. That abut both sides of the paper street. Otherwise, somebody else owns them, whether they be state property, a private citizen. It's the city can't own the property, can't absorb the abandonment if they don't own the property, and therefore they can't be the applicant. And that's what this waiver is for, when the city is the applicant. I don't see how, Councilman Sanepi alluded to some examples that were problematic he's trying to solve. I just don't see this state law exempting the city as an applicant or co-applicant. They have to follow the law. And it needs to be established, and the city needs to establish, that the beneficial use to the project has ceased, even though the city thinks another public project would benefit. It's the existing public beneficial use. And some small projects, paper streets, are served as mini parks for people because they haven't been developed, of course, and there's trees, there's green space, and people use them. They're mini parks. And I wouldn't want that to disappear because the city hasn't determined that all beneficial public use has ceased. And they're going to determine that they're the applicant and can do whatever they want and swap one public benefit use for another one that the city thinks has greater public benefit. So I caution you about making special exceptions for the city. It's the abutters that own property are the ones that are to benefit from the split of the abandonment half to each abutting property. So I'll stop there. And I just caution the council from adopting this ordinance as written. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak? All right, seeing none. Rather than amend here, I prefer to amend on the floor because otherwise things get duplicative. So before I move for a favorable recommendation, I'm going to note that I am going to speak during the break with the solicitor about enumerating the procedures in question as suggested by Mr. Langseth, because that would also, it would kind of a two-pronged approach, because it would also address some of what Ms. Kumar just mentioned, make it clearer that this is only applying to waiving these procedures, and we can't waive state law. There's no possible, even if we wrote here we waive all state laws, it wouldn't matter. It means nothing. We can't do that. It's just not possible. And just for everyone's own edification, the purpose of this honestly isn't actually to benefit the city. It's to benefit, in my case, constituents, but also members of the public, landowners, et cetera, because that's who's getting actually hurt by this, not the city, because they're forced to tell these landowners, or in my ward's case, who's trying to actually help the city by turning over land that the city needs, and that will actually also help the constituent, that, oh, by the way, you know, resident who's helping us, you need to pay potentially thousands of dollars for your efforts to help us, which is obviously silly, frankly. That just doesn't make sense from a cost-benefit analysis for anyone, frankly. I do understand the point, though, that it's a dual-edged sword where it can be potentially abused. However, the checks and balances on here, it would require 9 council people, or at least a majority, plus the mayor, to all be on board with such a reckless course of action, which is not really a reasonable thing to countenance, considering everything about this structure of government relies on that not happening. So let's not pretend like this is special in that regard. So I move a favorable recommendation as written, although, as mentioned, I plan on amending on the floor. Do we have a second?
Oh, second.
Let's say that hurts. All right, motion made and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. Motion passes favorable action. So it'll go to the full council, and ordinance finishes at my laptop died. 8:21 p.m.
Thank you, Chairman Sinapi. We have one more public safety this evening. There's one claim.
Good evening. The Public Safety Committee is called to order at 8:22. We have a momentary pause. I'm waiting for Councilman Sinapi. Thank you.
looks like they're stepping the line now. Okay, so they're just trying to catch it.
All I have is this. I want to put this piece.
Yeah, I got it.
All right, so we're gonna hold. So I can move into it.
Okay. All right. Again, thank you. We have one item, PCR 56-24, resolution relative to the payment of a claim to Damon Oppen. I'm requesting a hold till the meeting in July so I can do a little investigation. I guess there was a payment sent to the claimant, but it was erroneous, and I'm just going to track down the history up. So I'm looking to hold till July.
Yes, sir. Senator, I have some information. It's in the resolution itself.
I was just curious if there was a particular question. The resolution spells out many of the facts that got us to this juncture, but I'm happy to elaborate if it needs further clarification.
I'm personally asking to hold for 1 month so I can look
at it. Okay.
Give a little further.
Just happy to answer questions if need be.
But I appreciate that. But we'll talk between now and the next meeting. Thank you, Solicitor. So what's the date on the July meeting?
15th.
So hold to 7:15. Do I have a motion? Do I need one?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The meeting is ended at 8:25.
Thank you. Thank you for lending that.
Good evening again. We are back now in the full council meeting. So if you're following the agenda here, We've already done roll call, we've done general communications, we've done executive communications, and we've done public comments. So now we're moving on to number one this evening, which is the consent calendar. First up is PCR 59-24, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2025-046, bid 2025-041, bid 2025-047, bid 2025-035, 2024-068, 2024-370, 2023-171, 2024-495, 2024-496, 2024-492, 2025-060, 2025-058, 2025-057, 2024-015, 2024-497, 2024-493, 2025-019, 2024-451.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Okay, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the consent calendar.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
And yes, consent passes.
Thank you, consent calendar passage. Councilman Howe, I believe four items have been removed from the consent calendar.
Yes, Mr. President. Formerly bid 2025-059 is now PCR 60-24. Purchase of one Chevy Silverado 3500 with plow package. That left committee favorable action.
Okay, so for action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will be voting no on this item. And it's not because I don't feel we need the vehicle. It's because I don't feel that there is enough research, if you will, on some of these items before we send them up here. This isn't monopoly money we're talking about. This is taxpayer dollars that we're talking about. And I did make an inquiry on that vehicle with those items that were listed. And there is better deals out there. And we heard testimony that no one is making calls to find out if there's a better deal. Didn't even make a call to other vendors on the MPA to see if they had a better price, but yet just submitted this to us without doing that research to see if we could save some taxpayer dollars. So for that reason, I'm going to be voting no on this item. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other additional questions or comments on this item? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis? 7 yes, 2 no, motion passes.
Thank you. Motion passes. The second item, Councilman Howe.
Mr. President, bid 2025-040 citywide street striping is now PCR 61-24. Favorable action with amendment.
Okay, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action with amendment.
And the amendment is?
The amendment is to deduct or reduce the request of an amount of $45,000, so the bid goes from $80,000 to $35,000.
Okay, that's the motion. Is there a second? A second by Councilman Foley. Okay, any additional questions where you're reducing this amount from $80,000 to $35,000? Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Councilman Howe, would you like to move favorable as amended?
Move PCR 61-24 favorable as amended.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Gephardt. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes as amended.
Thank you. Motion passes as amended. Third item, Councilman Howe.
Yes, Mr. President. Formerly bid 2025-047, vehicle body repair and painting. That was now PCR 62-24. Favorable action with an amendment.
Okay, and Councilman Howe, the amendment?
The amendment was to add $35,000 from account 30-330 to make the overall bid for $100,000. That was move favorable action with amendment.
Okay, is there a second? Councilman Foley? Okay, so Solicitor Walsh.
And the amendment also includes clarifying that the original $65,000 is coming from code 76358.
Correct. Thank you. So the full amendment is the amending the amount and then the $65,000 is from code 76358 and the $35,000 is going to become from the code 30-330. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Councilman Howe, would you like to move that favorable as amended?
Move PCR 62-24 as amended.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes as amended.
Thank you. Motion passes as amended. The fourth item, Councilman Howe.
One moment. Okay. Formerly bid 2025-044 is now PCR 63-20 favorable action from the committee.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments? I believe we're going to have one recusal on this. Okay. Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 recusal, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. And that completes the consent calendar and the PCRs. Next up on the item on the agenda is referred business. We've already voted on this, PCO 6-24. That was moved favorable action. So now we will move to unfinished business on the agenda this evening. First up is PCR 131-23, committee report, public properties.
Move favorable action, or pardon me, recommend favorable action.
I believe this is the recommendation was to move to the pending file.
Oh, pardon me. Pardon that mix up. Recommendation, move to the pending file.
Okay, I'll take that as a motion. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Gephardt. We'll do a voice vote on this. All those in favor of moving to a pending file, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? PCR 131-23 is moved to the pending file. Number two this evening is PCR 55-24, committee report finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the finance committee? I believe we discussed this for about an hour plus. Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. We're now moving to new business this evening. First up is PCO 5-24, committee report ordinance.
The committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
So I want to say move favorable action, but I also want to make an amendment.
Sure. So
First one, then the other?
Yes.
So I move favorable action.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilwoman Travis. Councilman Sinapi.
So I'd like to make an amendment, and I believe the solicitor has it.
Solicitor Walsh.
Councilman Sinapi moves to amend the new language proposed in subsection G to delete the word these and insert the language in place thereof, any of the, and following the word procedures, inserting the language laid out above in subparts A through E. So the new sentence would read, G, the city council may waive any of the procedures laid out above in subparts A through E, and then continuing on as originally written.
Okay, so you're making that motion as your amendment, Councilman?
Yes, Sinapi? Please.
Do we have a second to that? Second by Councilman Ricks. Any questions, or Councilwoman Travis, any questions or comments on the amendment? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi. Councilman is moved favorable as amended. Councilwoman Travis is second. Any other second? Second by Councilman McElroy. Any questions or comments? Councilman Ricks.
To briefly address a couple of points raised by Ann Sheridan during her public comment. Adverse possession would not be relevant here, as adverse possession does not affect city property or property owned by the state. I would also state that I think it is very fair for the applicant to pay the fair market value. Fair market value is in the name of the term. The applicant is the one who would tend to select their own appraiser. And one could even have concerns about an applicant shopping around for a favorable appraiser, but that is already part of the current ordinance, and I'm not suggesting that we change that, as obviously if an applicant were to get an appraisal that's patently unfair, then we as a city council or the administration would be able to raise a red flag on that. So I think that the current ordinance is very well balanced. I have a concern that just as we have many processes here at the City Council, some of which are simply a matter of state law that we are required to conform with. And of course, I'm not saying that this amendment would not conform with state law, certainly not. But similar principles do apply here. It's not a situation where the City Council, for example, or the administration, or even both together, are able to waive, for example, the bid processes, even if it would actually give the city a better deal. In that situation, we're bound by state law. But even if we weren't, I would suggest that it would be a bad idea to go down that track, because for every time that it would actually make sense for us to do that, and it is in everyone's interests, it just opens up that door that if the exception exists, then there is the danger that it might be abused at some point in the future. I would hope that it wouldn't be abused, but there is that risk. And then there is also the matter of a perception of a favoritism. I'm not suggesting that we should bind ourselves and be ruled by not just a matter of making sure that there is not, in fact, favoritism. That's really the standard that we have to go by. We have to make sure that we are not being partial to one side or the other in these situations, but we are all elected officials, and I think it is important for us to at least keep in mind that public perception is also important. So because it would create an exception in the standard process that we've used for all of these many decades, and open the door to, if not favoritism, then the danger of favoritism and the public perception of favoritism. As much as I understand the rationale here, and I think that it is very much well-intentioned, it's simply not something that I can support opening this door. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other additional questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action as amended. Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi? Yes. Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, 2 no. Motion passes.
Thank you. Motion passes. As amended. Number four this evening is PCR 56-24, Committee Report, Public Safety. Hold till July 15th. Number five this evening is PCR 57-24, Committee Report, Public Properties.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. Number six this evening is PCR 58-24, Committee Report, Finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilwoman Travis, could you move this for me?
I move favorable action on PCR-58-24.
Thank you. Second by Councilman Lattiser. Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments? And I did, I missed one earlier in my comments during finance. We're also going to put one on Long Street by the church. Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you. Motion passes. We're now moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5? Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8? Ward 9? Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor moving to docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5. Ward 6. Ward 7 passes. Ward 8. Ward 9.
An ordinance in regards to no parking this side only to be placed on the north side of Major Potter Road from the intersection of Quaker Lane extending eastbound to Spencer Woods Drive.
Ordinance committee. And thank you very much. We are adjourned. We'll see you in July.